Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thanks, Scott. And folks, how is your plant world doing? If you'd like to talk about it, you can simply give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. But before we can talk to you, we have to take the good gardening stroll. And afterwards, we can talk about your trees, your perennials, that area that's slow, the water always sits, especially after that rain we had last week. Shrubs. I was just talking to Drew, who is producing, and gave him some advice on a shrub that would be blooming in the summertime that he may plant in his landscape. And anything in the outdoors, or simply we can step inside to your tropical world. We can talk about routine care, and we can talk about should you put it in a bigger pot? Should it be, what kind of soil should you use? Should you be doing any kind of pruning? Is there any insects? Yes. Is there anything suspicious, spots and transplanting and things like that? Taking cuttings and beyond. I'll share my knowledge, and hopefully it'll enable you to make some good decisions. But remember, it's your show, and I appreciate you having me into your plant world. Another very important player is Drew. As I said before, he's producing, so he answers the phone. He just needs your first name when you call in, and then he'll put it up on the computer screen, and then I will talk to you. And I can come to your plant world and do an on-site consultation, evaluation of your landscape. And it's called a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. And on the homepage, there's my email address and phone number. Today after the show, I'm headed to Rock Hill. And, well, let's get strolling. This walk is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. At the corner of Welsh and Morgan Ford, in the shadow of the Bevo Mill, stands the Edward H. Long School. And the lawn was recently cut. I know that. Simply, well, you can see by the visuals, but also as soon as I stepped out of my car, I could smell freshly cut grass. So they must have cut it pretty late yesterday. And that fragrance is causes me to sneeze sometimes. Didn't this morning, but it can. And the landscape is in general sprinkled with various sized trees, very mature oak trees, very mature upright junipers, as well as some recently planted trees. And then part of the front landscape of this school is the Long International Middle School Community Garden. And it's supported by the Wells Fargo Advisors, the Missouri Foundation for Health, and Gateway Greening. There's giant clumps of pampas grass there. Rises up, and I mean, it's about let's say, half mature size. So it's going to keep climbing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There's individual raised bed spaces, and you can find lots of raspberry canes in there, all in white flowers, getting ready to be pollinated and then produce raspberries. There's some budded onions. There's some asparagus. There's numerous varieties of perennials. And then surroundings include compost bins, bench, clumps of maiden grass, redbud tree sprouts. So I guess those are from redbud trees that sort of the seeds were brought in by either birds or they were brought in by kids or something. I don't know exactly where they came from. And there's an iris with some spent flowers. So the iris has past blooming, but the foliage still looks good. There's a ground cover type juniper that's weaving in and around a few things. And this morning, the sun was so bright, but the breeze was really pretty darn cool. I just wore, you know, my shorts that I always wear and it's a short sleeve shirt. And I thought maybe I should have put on something more than just short sleeve shirt. The bird chorus was singing, welcoming this Saturday morning. And as I looked up and thought, well, maybe I should go ahead and head downtown and go down Gravois to get to KMOX, which is right here on Olive. It's on in between Olive and the entrance to KMOX or Odyssey is on Olive. So it was good fun. I'll take a call or two before we take a break. Let's go over to Ann's yard. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Mike. I bought a Better Boy tomato plant in a pot with one of those round wire trellis things to support it, and it's already about almost 3 feet tall. Can I keep that in the pot, or do I have to put it in the ground?
How big is a pot?
8 inches.
8 inches?
Yeah. 8 inches wide. I measured it.
Yeah, that's not very big. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to make sure that you really stay on top of it as far as keeping it watered, because there's not a whole lot of potting mix there, and tomatoes need a lot of water to do well. So that's the only disadvantage to it. But apparently, you know, whoever the production company, production nursery was, they were sort of saying, since they put the tomato ring in with it, that you can leave it there. I'd give it a try, but just make sure that you don't let it get dry.
Okay. I also use that Schultz plant food. Can I use that for tomatoes, or will that harm the soil so that I can't eat the tomatoes?
Well, I would get regular just tomato food, because it's going to have
tomato food. Okay. All right. I wondered about that.
Yeah, because it's going to have micronutrients that the Schultz's doesn't have. And that's going to make production better.
Okay. Also, I have lots of nice squirrels in my yard. Is there anything I can put on that plant that I could spray that wouldn't poison the tomatoes but would keep the squirrels away?
Yeah, I would look at a company called Bonide, Bonide.
Uh-huh.
You can go to Bonide.com and look and see what they have as far as a repellent and as would be safe for putting on edible plants.
Okay. Is that something that a nursery might know about, or maybe I'm probably better off going online?
Well, you can go to a nursery. It's just a specific company that that Bonide is.
Right.
They may have an alternative that would be fine, that would be organic and not impact your edible plants. But that's
Okay. Also, you mentioned horticultural vinegar for clover. Do you know where I can get that?
So you're just going to have to kind of check around at various garden centers. Probably not the big box store types, but year-round garden centers, they may have it.
Okay, and one more thing. I just planted a whole lot of ivy. Is there any, and I use Osmocote on my other ivy in the spring and the fall, but is there another kind of fertilizer that would be advantageous to use on that ivy now to get it a good start?
Fertilizing as we go into summertime may not be the best thing to do.
Okay, so just leave it alone.
Yeah, leave it alone, and just make sure, again, if it's recently planted, that it doesn't go through any kind of drought stress. And then as we get towards the end of summer, like in August, maybe do a fertilizing then, and then do a fertilizing in September.
Oh, okay.
And then next year when, as the weather warms up, let's say sometime in late March, early April, do an application of fertilizer and then do it monthly up till June. And get a fertilizer for acid-loving plants.
For acid-loving plants. Okay.
Right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We have some phone lines open. And last week, a friend of mine from Soulard called in, and he shared some information with us. And basically what it is he had some squirrels. Squirrels are in Soulard. They're pretty much every place. And he found a product that would repel the squirrels. And what you can, if you'd like to have this, and then a lady called in about squirrels were eating her wooden fences and things like that. So this is a repellent that works on all kinds of wildlife. And the website is www.predatorpstore.com. This is all one word, pstore.com. So there's no spaces or anything else. And it's P-R-E-D-A-T-O-R, P-E-E-S-T-O-R-E.com. So if you've got problems with wildlife or anything else, you want to repel them. Now, I'm not sure if that's going to work on the lady was asking about her tomatoes, but you can certainly go to this website and see if it can be used on edible plants as well. But basically, it's used for on construction type stuff or, you know, that squirrels may do damage to. So let's go now to Laura's. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
We have property on a small lake an hour south of St. Louis, and I was looking for a plant that I could put on the dock, maybe, you know, a little bit of color, an annual or a perennial. We get the hot morning sun. We do catch the wind a lot. Just something to put a little bit of color or even, you know, green, you know, that would be able to stay all summer, and then I bring it in for the winter.
So,
any suggestions?
All right. So, are you talking about something to grow on pots on the deck, or are you talking about something in the ground surrounding?
No. I put it in pots.
Okay. So, you'd probably...
The gist of it is, though, is we're not there every day.
Right.
So, it would not be watered daily.
Right. Most of the stuff wouldn't have to be watered daily, I wouldn't think. You know, most plants don't need that. But I would probably take a look at some of the tropical houseplant type things.
Okay.
I mean, everything you could do, a combination, like, say, pothos and have that, you know, cascading over the edge of the pot, or wandering Jew having that cascade over the pot, and then something like, let's have tropical type bamboo that would, you know, go vertical. So do a combination of a couple things. And probably make this, you know, put them in a pot that's at least a 5-gallon size pot.
Right. I would need something heavy, too, because of what.
And, you know, the bottom, let's say 25% would be stone to make sure, to guarantee there's going to be drainage. And then what you can do is set it in a saucer, and that will help, you know, the fact that you're not going to be there all the time. And then, and then fertilize on a, you know, every time you go down there, just go ahead and fertilize it at that time.
All right. And then I guess I could always throw in some annuals just to put a little pop of color.
Right. Well, these are, you know, this stuff has, you know, kind of colorful leaves, so you could.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you could put some annuals in there, but the, let's see, probably, well, it's going to be personal choice as far as the annuals that you want.
Sure. But pothos and wandering Jew.
Right.
Okay. So, great. Thanks for your help. I really appreciate your show.
And then if you want something vertical that gives some color that's pretty tough, there's angel wing and devil wing begonias. They're going to get about 12, 14 inches high with pretty good size foliage. And even though the foliage is green, but the flowers are either pink or red, and they're pretty tough and durable.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's see, where should we go? Let's go over to Joanne's yard. Hi, Joanne.
Hello, good morning. Thank you. Hi, I have a frustrating issue in that I have several of my trees. I think they may be linden trees. And these, like, small branches grow out of the base. And they start out small, but then if I don't keep cutting them back, all of a sudden they're 2 feet tall, and it's really a messy look. Is there anything I can do to prevent them from growing there?
Not really. I'm surprised if these are linden trees are actually doing that. Does the tree look healthy?
Oh, yeah. And maybe they're not linden, okay? I think they are. But I have two or three very healthy trees that are big. But at the base, they have these, you know, these like branches or stems that come up. And, I cut them back.
Right.
And then if I don't look for a couple of weeks, then all of a sudden they're back and they're 6 or 8 inches tall, and it's a really messy look.
Yeah, if it's a linden tree, the linden trees are in flower, even though they're not, the flowers are not spectacular by in seed. So they would have something like that, you know, on them right now that's, you know, that drops on the ground.
Yes. Well, don't the linden trees smell really good?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay, then maybe it's not a linden tree. Somebody told me it was.
You know, we've got our neighbor, Pam. She has a couple linden trees as street trees right in front of our house, and I can't honestly say I've ever really smelled them. So.
Okay, well, then they must not be, because I have a tree that will flower, and it smells. You walk by, and it smells nice.
Oh, great! So
yeah, I like it. Okay, well, but, so I just have to cut it back. I mean, can I put like one of those brush killers on there? Do you think? I mean, I'm talking about mature trees.
Yeah, I would not do that because you could have an adverse impact. Because probably what's happening is this sucker growth is coming off the root system.
Okay.
And it sounds like these trees may be grafted. I'm not saying that they are for sure. But usually if you have sucker growth at a base of a tree, that's usually what it is related to the fact that they were, you know, the root system and the trunk are two separate plants. They were glued together, you know, a graft. And that's probably what the circumstance
is. All right. Wait a second. I have another quick question. Why has my bird of paradise, probably 5, 6, 7 years old, big, 12 feet tall, maybe taller, never bloomed? Can I do anything? It's healthy.
Are you fertilizing? That's about all you're going to be able to do. Fertilize. Do you move it outside? Well, if it's that tall, you don't move it outside, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
It's not easy, but it goes in and out.
Right.
It stays out. It's been out for, say, you know, several weeks now. It'll stay out until, you know, frost approaches, and then it goes inside, and there's big windows, and it's really a cool tree, and it'll do well in the window.
Right.
But it never blossomed once.
I would say go to Missouri Botanical Garden website, mobot.org, and see what they say about what type of fertilizer may induce, you know, the flowering.
All right. Thank you. You have a terrific show. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Bye.
Bye. And now let's go over to Jeff's yard. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for your show, and good morning, everyone. I have a hydrangea tree in my yard. And last year, during all that really strong wind we had, it kind of broke off, not fully at the base. So I straightened it back up. I put a stick or something to hold it steady and tied it to that, and it seemed to do okay. This year, I had a lot of what you term sucker stuff coming up tall, and the tree was looking okay. I had some others it leafed out, but not as good as the others. But now it seems the top isn't doing good. I wonder if I should just let those suckers come up and get rid of the top of the tree. It's only about 3 years old.
Yeah. Basically, you know, when the trunk got broken, then that pretty much, even though it may have had some leaves and things like that, it's pretty much gone. So what happened is now you're getting all this sucker growth off the root system. And to make that, don't anticipate making that into a tree, because truly there isn't really a hydrangea tree. What they are hydrangeas that have been pruned in the production nurseries to be trees. So, in other words, not understand that there was a pruning for years and years and years to make it look like a tree, though it's not technically a tree. So don't expect this sucker growth to start producing any kind of tree-looking circumstance. It's going to be just a regular type shrub.
All right. Okay, Mike. Hey, have a great day, and thanks for your service.
Well, sure. Thank you, and thanks for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it. Yeah, that's, you know, the problem. And so, unfortunately, when any kind of trunk on anything, you know, has a major crack in it, that's going to lead to some not necessarily instantaneous death of the top, you know, growth, but it could be a slow death, but it's usually going to go downhill for sure.
I didn't know if it would, since I stood it back up, if it would heal and graft itself down there.
Yeah, I mean, there was no problem trying it, because you may get lucky, but to get the vascular system, in other words, the veins from the part that was, let's say, knocked over and make it match to the part that you're lifting it back up to make it vertical with, is going to be really iffy at best.
All right, well, have a great day. Thank you. Enjoy the beautiful weather.
Yes, perfect day. So, folks, we've got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. If you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I had somebody just rush in a panic over their Christmas cactus that has historic reverence to the family and everything else. They were having a difficult time with it, so I spent during that break trying to help her get some new cuttings. And right now, let's head over to Boomer's yard. Hi, Boomer.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I have two questions. My first question is about, like, stone colors, like where you might put mulch, but instead maybe you put river stones.
Right.
And I was wondering, with the colors of the stones and retaining the heat, you know, maybe due to the color of the stone, like maybe black as opposed to white, does that affect the roots at all?
Not all that much. So it's gotcha. Whether you use like the tan river rock or you use, you know, anything, any kind of color is not going to make that much difference.
Okay. Okay.
And I would probably, if you're going to do this, just make sure that you, when you buy it, that you get, let's say, it's going to be called clean. So in other words, you get 2-inch clean rock, so you're not going to have rock that's 2 inches, some that's 1 inch, some that's like pea gravel. So you don't want to have that happen. You just want to have consistent size.
Okay, good to know. That's really good to know. That was actually part of my first question, too. Okay, my second question is, when you have trees or shrubs that don't get adequate light, right, and then the leaves die off of them, the tree is still going, you know, higher up with the leaves, but it's got those branches that are just, they look dead. Should you leave those alone or should you cut them?
No, if you have, you know, branches off any kind of trunk of a tree or off a larger branch that is defoliated entirely due to the environment, that branch is basically dead. And if it's due to the shade or whatever the factor is, then it's not going to have energy enough to be able to push out new growth on those.
Okay, so, you know, my mom always taught me that a lot of times your tree's going to spend energy in places or it shouldn't, or your flowers will. So that's why I was wondering if you should just cut it off and just get rid of that possibility.
Yeah, basically those branches should be cut off. And just with the final cut off the either trunk or off the large branch that or larger branch that's attached to, and just leave about a quarter inch stub.
Okay, awesome. Well, Mike, really appreciate it. Love your show. Thank you.
Well, great. Well, thanks for having me on your show. And now let's head over to Art's yard. Hi, Art.
Yes, Mike. This is sort of botanical related. You were in Air Force Intelligence. I'm just wondering, the cold shoulder that I get with respect to the Jack Danforth plant experimental projects over there, do you know exactly what's going on there with respect to, say, nitrogen fixation, independence, and so forth? I'm really curious what they're trying to develop as far as hybrids.
Basically, I don't know specifics enough, but I mean, they're probably just trying to get something that's going to, you know, work a little bit better than what, you know, some of the non-hybrids are. So, but I don't know the specifics. You might call the, or, you know, go into the website for the Missouri Botanical Garden and see what they say.
Well, I don't have internet or anything.
Okay.
Will go work by landline. And I got the shoulder whenever I talk about it. It comes through cold to me. And I'm wondering whether that was a classified installation.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, no. Well, like I say, you never know what's going on.
Right. Well, you can go to the libraries. Now, they have computers that you can use, city libraries.
Well, it'd probably take me another 8 years of study to get off that.
Like, it won't take that long. Somebody there can probably help you.
At 93, Mike.
Oh.
You know, I've seen a lot of things go undercover and never show up and things develop. And you say, how did that happen, you know?
Right. So,
yeah. Transparency is one of the good things and accommodation. But seems like everything's sort of hush-hush, too.
Yes, yeah. Even though it's in theory more in the open because of all the electronic stuff, it's really even more hidden to me.
Let me tell you, I was in intelligence over in Korea during the Korean War. So I was on the ground floor with a lot of these senior intelligence officers. So I get to know a lot of things from their background.
Sure.
That goes on for political purposes.
Right. Well, thanks, Art. Greatly appreciate it. And good luck.
Thank you.
And now let's head over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. I have English ivy growing up either side of my sidewalk that's at least 30 years old.
Ooh.
And I trim it, and it looks great. But this year, more than 50% of it's dead. Like, it will, like, snap. It's really dead. And I didn't know, does it just get so root-bound that I can't use it anymore? I mean, it won't grow anymore? Or what should I do?
Well, it's probably a combination of several things. Age, as well as that nasty cold spell that we had in the fall really did some major damage to lots of different broadleaf evergreens, and that's what the ivy is. So it's probably, you can leave it where it is, but I would start considering getting some new plants and then adding it into where the established plants are.
Oh, okay. So dig up the old stuff and put in some new and
right.
See where it,
exactly.
It'll go. Okay.
And if you've got some stems that still have foliage on them, just leave those alone. And if you got some stems, I'm sure some of the stems got to be pretty good size, at least a half inch.
And, yeah, they are. Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, you just got to, if they don't have any foliage on them, just pull, get rid of those. And that's where you need to put in some new.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks so much for your help.
Sure. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye-bye.
And now let's head over to Barb's yard. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks so much.
Sure.
I have some Stromance tricolors plants. I have five of them. They're pretty big. And a lot of them have the tips of the leaves are all brown. And I don't know if I should cut all those leaves off and start over from let it do its own thing, or am I watering it too much?
That could be. Now, what's this plant's name?
It's a Stromanthe, Stromanthe, tricolor.
Okay.
They're beautiful.
Right.
The top of the leaf is variegated, and the underside is red.
Right. So these are houseplants you're talking about, correct?
Well, they've been in the house all winter.
Right.
and then I put them outside.
Right. So in other words, they are tropical houseplants, and that's why you have to bring them
tropical.
In the wintertime. But, the tips, I mean, that could be related to the type of water that you have. So in other words, the end of the leaf is where, let's say, the mineral quality of the water will continue to go until it kind of can, like, do a burn, and that's what it is. So maybe start using something other than tap water. Use, like bottled water if you want. You can buy the gallons. And these don't really take a whole lot of watering, so just make sure if it was over water, then the leaves would be dropping, not necessarily just getting a, let's say, an ugly tip on the leaf. And with that, I'd say if 99% of the leaf is looking good, leave them alone. And you just, rather than look at that burnt tip, just don't look at that. So put on some rose-colored glasses and say, oh, those look really great. And don't look at the burnt tip, because the size of the leaf is going to make it so that it keeps it healthy. You start cutting off the leaves, then you're going to have trouble.
These are large leaves on these. They're
right.
Pretty big.
Right.
I fell in love with them at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and I just had to get some. So now my husband's getting frustrated because we've been taking them in and out for the last 4 winters.
Uh-huh.
Now, it could be the age of the plant, too. I don't know.
Well, but that age, what size pot are they in?
Pretty big, about 12 inch.
Oh, so that should be plenty. That's they should be able to survive in that size pot. They're going to be heavy. There's no getting around it. And so just kind of leave them alone.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your show.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Okay. Yeah.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Yep. Mike Miller, KM Wash Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go, and we're headed over to Rita's yard. Hi, Rita.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I moved into a new house last fall, and I've got a couple of questions about a couple of the plants I've never had before. One of them is the spilled wine weigelia. I was just getting ready this spring to cut off the dead stalks from last year.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like the new growth was coming out of the dead stalks. Is that right?
Yeah, it can.
Okay.
So weigelias, now they suffered a little bit of damage this past winter. But they're not going to put out new stems. This is a shrub. So it should be in flower now, and there may be some damaged, twigs or stems or branches or whatever. If you have some that don't have any leaves on them, then you can go ahead and cut those off, but just basically leave it alone.
Okay, so I can cut them off now.
Right.
How big will that get?
It just depends upon the variety. I mean, some of them can get to 6 feet high and 6 feet wide.
Oh, wow.
Some of them will be a little bit smaller. Just depends upon the variety.
Okay. And what kind of fertilizer do I use?
Just a tree and shrub type food would be the best thing. Or what you can do is just do some deep root feeding where you dig some holes around the base of it and backfill those holes with compost. And then the compost feeds the soil. Then consequently, a healthier soil will feed the plants.
Okay.
And then if you're going to get, let's say, tree and shrub type food, you don't want to feed going into summertime because you don't want to force, growth that late in the season. So wait until next year to do the fertilizing sometime in, let's say, early March, mid-March, weather dependent, and then fertilize a monthly with no fertilizer after June.
Okay, so I can fertilize it once now while it's blooming and then stop.
Right. So don't fertilize in the summertime because you can force some growth. And if we get another, weird, cold snap like we had this, this past year, then consequently it could do some damage.
Okay. I've got blue holly. Let's see. Yes, blue holly. I've had China girl, China boy before, but this is really different. It's got the different level or length of spears. Does it continue to grow like that?
Yes.
So okay.
It's going to be the same kind. It's going to need the same kind of care as the other holly that you've had historically.
Okay. I think that's it, Mike. Thank you so very much.
Sure. My
Love
pleasure.
Your show.
Well, thank you. And now let's go over to Donna's yard. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Very good.
Okay. I have a question about a rhododendron. I've had this bush forever, probably, 28 years. And every spring, it gets these beautiful magenta-colored, huge flowers on it, except for this year. This is the first time it's happened. It was loaded with blooms. A fraction of the blooms opened, and the ones that did only opened partially with this little tiny flower on top of it, but the rest of the bloom didn't open. The leaves on the bush look fine. The blooms just didn't open, and I'm guessing it's weather-related or drought-related. I don't know. I'd like your opinion about that, first of all. And second of all, because it sets the buds for next year, after it blooms, do I cut these dead buds off? Do I trim it a little so that it blooms for me next year?
Well, basically, with any of the rhododendrons, azaleas, that whole group, the time to prune is right after they finish flowering. So that way it, you know, has a chance to do the flower buds for next year. And the reason why you had more or less dysfunctional blooming this year was weather related.
Gotcha. So I should probably trim this back a bit to force it to create new blooms. So these are goners, the ones that didn't open. They're not even going to open anymore this year.
No, they won't.
I would suspect. Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay. One more question, if you have time. I have a holly bush. It's probably about 5 foot tall. Lost all of its leaves through the winter. I thought it was a goner. And this spring, the leaves started popping out again. A lot of dead stuff around it that I trimmed off. But all the leaves are on, like, the stems that are already there. Is this thing going to grow new little branches, or are these leaves just going to continue to go up the stems and it's going to look weird forever?
Well, you know, I keep talking about the cold snap that we had in the fall. So that's what knocked all the foliage off of it. So I would say just leave it alone for a year and see what you think.
Okay, I can do that. I'll be patient. Thank you so much for everything you do for us.
Sure, my pleasure.
All right.
And Carl, could you do it kind of quick? Hello, Carl? Carl's not there. Let's go to John. John, can you do it quickly?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to do soil today for my potted plants. And what ratio would it be on a compost? Would it be like 3-to-1 topsoil? I just got regular topsoil at not like a Brentwood material store.
Okay.
You know, I can get it in bulk.
What are you trying to grow in these pots?
Annuals, full sun, annuals on the front of my house.
Okay. So generally, I recommend doing a potting mix, not a potting, not a soil. But if go ahead and try that. But yeah, I'd probably do maybe 25% compost with the topsoil that you bought.
And that should work. Just fluff. And I'm not going to put that white perlite in there, am I? I don't need that.
Well, you know, that's the problem. That's why I always recommend using potting mix, because depending upon, do they have drainage holes in the bottom of the pots?
Yes.
Okay, so
every
as long
one of
as you
them have drainage holes, yeah,
that will help. But just to make sure that the annuals you get can handle a damper soil, that's the problem with using, let's say, topsoils versus a potting mix.
Okay, would you recommend any kind of potting mix, please?
Just any type of potting mix should work. Doesn't matter, because it's going to have all. It's going to help with the drainage and everything else, and. It's just, it's just better for growing plants, to be honest.
You don't want me to add any of the topsoil that I bought at that supply. You don't want me to add any of that, huh?
You don't need to do that.
Okay. All right. Can I have one more quick one?
Sure.
I've got a thick Atlas cedar in my front yard. It's losing its needles a little bit, and it's coming back a little bit, but a lot of little pink needles all over the place. Is that thing dying?
If they're interior needles, no. That's just a type of thing that you should anticipate it, that's happening.
I topped the plant about a year ago because it was getting too tall. Cut it at an angle, the way Hartke told me to. So I didn't know if that put it through shock or what.
No, it shouldn't have. But, that tree is a little bit iffy at best. So just understand that they're not easy to grow here. They don't necessarily like it here. And so dropping needles is, that's conifers just do that this time of year. I have Mugo Pine that's doing that. And, all the conifers do that this time of year. So Mike Miller, KMWalks Garden Hotline. We will be back after the news.
Now at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, this is the second hour, and it is a tip of the trial hour, and it's an on-air recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me this past week. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Right now, If you have any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments related to your plant world, whether it's plants inside your house or outside your house, you can give us a call because we do have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And guess what, folks? Tip of the trowel goes out to everybody. Everybody that's doing things in their yard to make their yard look nice. I mean, I walk around our neighborhood all the time, and you know, I go to people, other neighborhoods for my walk and talks and things like that. Some people are doing spectacular. This is a great year to me as far as the aesthetics and everything else. And some people are not into their yard. I don't expect everybody to do it, but the people that are just amazing. How the quality of their landscape from an aesthetic standpoint is just absolutely fantastic. So tip of the trowel just goes out to normal people that are, you know, taking care of their plant material. It's just really neat to see. And by the way, thanks for inviting me onto your show, where discussions can be from making a selection of a plant to go in a specific location, then how to care for it, talking about what should be done during the peak season versus the humdrum times, whether they're annuals, whether they're spring bulbs. The spring bulbs, if you have any daffodils or tulips or things like that, probably by now you can go ahead and cut the foliage down. The summer bulbs, you're probably just anticipating or seeing the new growth begin, whether it be elephant ears, cannas, gladiolas, or whatever. How about the herbs, vegetables, fruit trees, evergreens, herbaceous ground covers, perennials, cascading or upright houseplants, cool or warm season lawns? My zoysia is really looking spectacular right now. So I did my first fertilization, and I'm going to do my second fertilization probably today when I get home. How about shrub or classic type roses? And screenings. Those neighbors, they don't necessarily care for them. I mean, they're nice people, but I want to screen them. How about what would be a good tree for screening? Guess what? All kinds of different stuff. I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take for success, but strictly offered for you to consider. Another very important player for the show to actually be heard by you is Drew. He's producing, so when you call in, he just needs your first name, and then he'll get it up on the computer screen, and then we'll go from there. And then when he's not answering the phone, he's pushing all these buttons and everything else so you can hear me. And by the way, who is me? I'm Mike Miller. I've been doing the Garden Hotline since 1994. And besides this Saturday morning get-together that we have, I can come to your plant world, your landscape, and do an on-site consultation, a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's my email address and phone number. And as I said before, the tip of the trowel, it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. And again, it just goes out to the people. You see them out, you know, just taking care of their landscape. It doesn't have to be massive. It doesn't have to be a whole lot or anything else. And so just thanks to everybody that takes care of the plant material. So greatly appreciate it. Let's go ahead and take a call or two. Let's go over to Mary's yard. Mary, how are you?
I'm fine, Mike. This is kind of an unusual call, I guess. My granddaughter has, when she first bought her house, there was a lot of holes in her front yard. So she filled them all with dirt and then planted grass over it. And that, so we never did find out what was digging those holes. They're about the size of a quarter. But now in the backyard, she's got frogs. Do you know how to get rid of frogs?
How does she, that's, you know, kind of unusual. Does she have a pond or something?
Well, there is a creek about 200 feet away from
her.
Oh,
that's a long way. That they wouldn't be there. So these are probably, rather than frogs, these are probably toads. And, I mean, what, how come she wants to get rid of them?
Well, I guess she thinks they're digging holes.
No. They
no,
don't.
They're not digging.
Yeah, those holes are not from, you know, from toads or frogs or anything like that. But to me, to have that kind of situation, to hear that sort of melody, you know, during the day, and especially if it's in a shaded area or, you know, at night or in the evening, that would be something that would be enjoyable. So I would think she should kind of think of it that way as opposed to trying to get rid of them. But I don't know of anything that would actually kill, you know, frogs slash toads that, you know, are available. And if she's seeing these, you know, quarter-inch holes, that's probably from worm castings. So in other words, she's got a lot of earthworms in her yard, and they push these worm castings up, and that's what's, you know, there's a little pile of, you know, soil that's right next to the, you know, these holes.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell her. And so you think the toads are beneficial?
Yeah. I mean, they're eating bugs and everything else, so they're going to be to the advantage.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell her.
Okay, great. Thank you. And now let's see. Let's head over to Sandy's yard. Hi, Sandy.
Hi there, Mike. Your relief for the deer attacking my hosta with the Irish Spring bars of soap, they work great. I shave them. I break them into little pieces. I put whole bars under my big hosta, and it works.
Perfect.
Yes, on the daffodil foliage topic, I follow your advice every year, and I, you know, when it, the foliage is half brown and ugly, I chop it down. But this year, my brand new daffodil, I planted 200 bulbs. They were the tall variety, very beautiful. The foliage is still totally green, and they have not bloomed. I mean, they've been gone, you know, the flowers for 5 weeks at least. Can I chop it down?
Well, it's, you can, but I would say as long as it looks green, I mean, why not just enjoy the green? Unless they're if they're mixed in with other plants that you want to see the other plants, then I would say they should be able to be cut down.
Okay, because some of them are just in bunches in my front yard, and it looks a little bit unsightly. And my other flowers, you know, look so nice.
Okay.
So even though it's green, I can get rid of it.
Yeah, because if they've been, you know. So in other words, they've had plenty of time to build up the bulbs for the, you know, for next year. So consequently, usually by this time, you're already starting to see them at least, you know, start to turn brown. Why these aren't? It's because of our weather's just been perfect for them.
Okay, gotcha. One last thing, please. You mentioned a couple of weeks ago about white powder in mulch.
Right.
Did you say that was a fungus?
Yeah, it certainly could be.
Well, can I just put my bedding plants around my mailbox in that mulch with some of that white fine powder? Or is it going to kill my begonia? Because my begonia don't look super great there.
So that's, you know, rake it up a little bit and try to get some air circulation in there. And just in the future, get a different type of mulch so you don't get that, you know, kind of problem.
Or should I take it all out, put a fungicide down, and then a little more potting soil, and then should I just do it over?
You could go ahead and do that if you want to, or just go ahead and just rake it and just don't get your plant, don't install the new plants until you start to see, a period of 5 to 7 days where the powdery mildew or whatever it happens to be, you know, on your mulch doesn't show up.
Okay. So, would it hurt to do a fungicide now?
Well, you could do it. Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much for the program.
Well,
I'm there every Saturday, the whole time.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Great. Bye.
Bye. Mike Miller, KM Marks Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
We go where you go. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
Back to the phones we go. Let's see. Where should we go? How about, let's go over to Nancy's yard. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Mike. I have two questions. I have three boxwood bushes in my front landscaping, and only one of them, I think, suffered some of that damage from the cold spell.
Right.
Because on one side of the bush, there's some brown dead branches, and on the other side of the bush, it's beautiful and green. So should I leave the dead branches in there or try to cut them out?
Now, are the dead branches on the side that's facing your house?
They're in front of my house, in under my picture window. There's okay. three of them.
So, but on the side that's looking dead, on the one, is that the side that backs up to your house?
Well, you know, it doesn't get a lot of sun right. like the other side does.
So that's probably part of the factor as well as the weather factor. So, yeah, if you could go ahead and leave them if you want to and see how they look going in the, you know, by the time we get around to fall to see if they've kind of pushed out any new growth. But my guess is you're going to end up having to prune them out.
Okay, because I was afraid that if I did that, then it's going to leave a big bare area in yeah. that part of the bush.
Yes, it will. When you, that's why I'm saying leave it and see if it has the ability to recover on its own. Because okay. once you cut this off, you're going to be looking into the sort of skeletized inside.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at first I thought, well, I hope it's not a disease of any kind.
No, generally, I'm not saying it couldn't possibly be, but it's probably not.
Okay. Just leave it alone, and hopefully it will fill back in again.
Right. So, but the, you know, the brown leaves that are there, they're going to drop off. So I just hope the stems, you know, are still viable and are going to be able to push out some new growth. But again, if these are on the back side of your boxwood, you know, which faces your house, then yeah. that's not a good sign.
Oh, all right. Well, my second question is, something's eating holes in my hostas, and someone told me to put beer in a container and put it by them, and if it's slugs, they'll climb in and they'll drown. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, they'll get
okay.
drunk and then they'll drown.
Okay, so go ahead and try that then.
Right. Either that, or you can do that, or you can go to your favorite garden center and get some slug and snail bait. But slugs and snails are very active now. You can just look at the sort of slimy stuff on your sidewalk. You wonder what's making these kind of streaky, silvery things across your sidewalk, and it's slugs and snails, and they're doing their, let's say, activity at night.
Okay.
And then also,
or I could go out there at night, huh? And
yeah.
With a flashlight and get them?
Exactly. And then also, they like to hang out on the underside of leaves, so, you know, watch out for that, too.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Sure. Good luck.
And get, okay.
Get
bye.
Those slugs and snails drunk.
Yeah. Thanks.
And now let's head over to Don's yard. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question as far as I have some pinholes in my roses on the leaves. Is that a disease or something that's causing it? It's never happened before. You know, the little holes in the greenery of my roses.
Yeah, it could be that, or it could be if you have had any hail, it could be damage from hail. So,
oh, I see.
I mean, it could be just a physical type thing. The things that generally eat the leaves don't just eat holes. So, in other words, the bugs that eat the leaves don't do that. So, to me, it's got to be something, you know, physical as opposed to something that's, you know, an insect-related type thing.
Is it something that I can powder or something I could put on the rose without damaging the rose itself?
Yeah, you go to your favorite garden center and get a systemic-type insecticide. Systemic means that you're going to put it on, you're going to pull the mulch back if you have mulch. You're going to sprinkle it on the ground, water it in. Then the rose is going to take it up. And then if anything starts to feed on the foliage, then it will kill them. So it'll minimize any kind of damage.
All right. I see. Okay. Now, did the weather damage a lot of azaleas in people's yard? I didn't get no color at all this year from the...
A lot of them were, you know, the flower buds basically got knocked out. I mean, we even had a call earlier from a lady that her rhododendron, it was disappointing this year after multiple years of being very good, but the weather caused that.
Oh, okay. Because I'm a victim of it. Okay. Okay, then. That's my question for today. Thank you for taking my call, and have a good day.
Sure, you do the same. And now let's see what's going on in Martha's yard. Hi, Martha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have the wonderful wild violets that are just everywhere in my yard. What can I do to get rid of them? Or is there anything to do?
Embrace the violets. No, they're really difficult. What you want to do is go to your favorite garden center and tell them you have the violets. They're going to give you a broadleaf weed killer. Then you're going to spray that on. If it's mixed into your lawn, you're going to spray it on each individual one.
Okay. Well, I'll try that then.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, it's a long, involved process, and they're very aggressive.
Yeah, they are. Well, listen, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. And let's see, where should we go now? Let's go over to Sharon's yard. Hi, Sharon.
Yes, Mike. I have trouble with barberry bushes. I have scale on the bushes. We have sprayed dormant oil on it twice now, within 2 weeks. The more and more areas seem to be dying.
Well, scale, you know, dormant oil should be sprayed during the dormant period. So to spray it when the, you know, this time of year is not good for the plants.
Oh.
So in other words, there's a horticultural oil, which you can spray when there's, warm temperatures and everything else. But dormant oil should be sprayed during the wintertime, basically. So during dormancy.
Okay.
So you may have contributed to the downward spiral. But usually, I mean, scale, even if it's killed off, won't fall off the plant. But if you're seeing more, damage, more twigs or branches or whatever dying, it could be related to the scale aspect, but also it could be related to the application of the dormant oil at the wrong time of year.
Well, it says here that on the instructions, it said ornamentals, spray foliage thoroughly, do not spray plant in the midday with a spray of temperatures above 90 degrees. So since it wasn't above 90 degrees, I thought it was usable in the spring, too, but obviously not.
Right.
Okay. So is there any hope now? What do I do now with it?
Basically, if you've got brown, the foliage is falling off and things like that, those stems may be dead or those twigs may be dead.
They're dead. There's no doubt about the, okay. Yeah.
So go ahead. I mean, just kind of prune those off and kind of keep your fingers crossed that it's going to, the part that hasn't been damaged is going to be able to recover from an aesthetic standpoint.
So, and if I see scale on new areas, just hope for the best?
Well, you can, or you can get, there's a summer weight horticultural oil, which you can spray during the growing season, or do the application of the dormant oil during the wintertime.
Okay. All right. If they live till wintertime, I can spray the dormant oil again, okay?
Right.
So, but we might lose them if I've done enough damage.
Right, exactly. A combination of whatever problems there were and then spraying, kind of off sequence.
Okay. Okay, thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
Sure, my Bye-bye. Pleasure. Mike Miller, KMWash Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Mike. Thank you. I put in tall fescue sod about 3 years ago, and this year I'm getting patches of clover, and I hear it's pretty stubborn. I just want to know what is the best thing to use on this.
You're kind of cutting out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in a metal building. Give me a second. I'll get outside.
Hello?
Hello. I'm almost outside.
Wow. Must be a big building.
I'm in a big metal building. Okay. I'm outside. Sorry. I found new sod, tall fescue.
Right.
And so what is the very best thing to use on?
Probably, if you really want to kill it, is I'd go after it with Roundup. If you hate Roundup, so in other words, you can get Roundup and you can get like a cone at the tip of the spray, and that way it keeps it just from going right at that one spot. And just spray on the clover on that, with the Roundup, with that sort of more or less cone on the tip of the sprayer. so you don't get any drift onto your lawn.
Oh, really? I mean, it'll kill the grass, too, though.
If you don't get it into the grass, it won't. It has to land on the grass blades to kill the grass.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of mixed in.
Oh, okay. Well, then you could try a broadleaf weed killer. So in other words, like a weed be gone. But against clover, it's not really all that effective. Give that a try, though.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Sure.
You have a good day.
Yeah, my pleasure. And now let's go to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have two questions. We recently planted a 6 or 8 foot maple tree.
Okay.
And it has a stem, a supporting piece of wood that goes up the whole length of it. And I'm just wondering when we can take that stick out.
Hopefully the stick wasn't so tight, or the tree trunk wasn't so tight tied to the stick, that when the wind's blowing, the tree doesn't have any kind of movement at all, because that's how you actually help a tree to get established, is some wind movement. So it should be flexible enough. I would say if it's just a wooden stick that's running down by the trunk, you could almost take it out now. I don't think it needs to really be staked in a different way. Stakes, like three of them with like kind of a, let's say, some kind of rope that goes up and, you know, lets it be flexible enough so the tree trunk and branches and everything move gently in the winds.
And believe me, with the winds we've been having, it moves quite well.
Well, that's great. That'll help it establish.
So leave it in for a while?
Yeah, you could leave it in, but probably by fall I would go ahead and take it out.
Okay. Oh, good to know. Thank you. And also, I'm seeing little bug shells. I don't know what to call them. Like in the summer when the cicadas come and then they leave those shells.
Right.
I'm seeing them around my yard now. They're only about an inch long. They're little.
Well, I mean,
I'm wondering what that could be.
It could be the cicadas. I don't, you know, it's a little tough without actually seeing what it could possibly be. I would probably just take a couple of them to your favorite garden center and let them identify them.
They look exactly, but I'm not hearing any cicada noise, you know, the song that they
Right.
sing.
Yeah.
It's odd to see them this time of the year.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, that's all I needed to know. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, probably the only reason why some of them emerged, you know, up out of the ground, that's where basically they're coming up from, is, you know, our weather's been so screwy, it's kind of threw some of them off, and that's why they, let's say, came out a little bit premature.
Interesting. Okay, thank you so much, Mike.
Sure. Let's head over to Carol's. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
You got me?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question about a boxwood again. What's the best way to trim them?
Not going into summertime. So that's
okay.
Because when you cut off the tips, they've been more acclimated to the weather and everything else. What you do is if you cut them going into summer, they could get, you know, the remaining branches, twigs, whatever, can get sunburned. So best time
well,
to do,
do I,
it
do
is...
I want
it-
Do I want to trim off the top, or do I want to go down in and kind of take out some of the depth of the bush so that it's not quite so thick?
Well, you want to leave it thick. I mean, that's why people like boxwoods, because they, you know, they're like a box. So in other words, they
right.
So they kind of close off a view or whatever. You can't see through them. So you don't want to really do that. That's not the best way to prune. But best way to prune is an exterior type thing.
Okay. And just can I use a regular hedge trimmer?
Yeah. Just make sure you just don't do it. You know, probably best time to do it is the ideal time to do it would be coming out of wintertime. So like, you know, Valentine's Day to, you know, Ides of March, that type, you know, type of circumstance. When the severest weather temperatures are over with, and then consequently the new growth will come and help kind of, you know, fill in where the, or aesthetically fill in where it's been pruned off.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, and let's see. Now let's go over to... Hi, Rich, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I have a lot of the long leaves from the surprise lily in my front yard. They're lying down and starting to turn brown. Can I cut those back now?
Yeah, definitely. Once any kind of foliage from any kind of spring flowering bulb is laying down, and then definitely when it's turning brown, you can cut them off. Cut them off right at ground level.
All right. Thank you very much. I enjoy your program.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. Now let's head over to Sue's yard. Hi, Sue.
Comment for the lady who sprayed the dormant oil at the wrong time.
Right.
If she used Dawn dishwashing liquid in water in a sprayer, could she spray that off and maybe hopefully save her plant?
It just depends upon how long ago she has sprayed and what kind of damage is already there. So that's just kind of an aesthetic thing, taking it off the surface. But if the just depends upon how, what degree and when and everything else.
Right.
It wouldn't hurt, but it's not necessarily going to be, it's not going to be all that helpful. You just don't know. It wouldn't hurt to try it.
Yeah, I just thought maybe if it wasn't too long ago, she could spray it now and maybe the whole plant wouldn't die.
Right, exactly. Well, you're probably right. That would, that's a good idea.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Love your show.
Well, thank you. And let's go over to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, yes.
Mike, the cicadas. These are a different variety than the cicadas that most of us are accustomed to.
Ah.
I don't remember. I believe the larger ones are called dog day cicadas. But anyway, they are a much larger cicada that will emerge a little bit later this year. But we have had many more of the smaller shells scattered about various places in our garden. And if you see the live cicada, they have red eyes.
Whoa.
And they're not much different in creating any problems in our garden. They make the small holes in the soil, and then you will find their shells just like the others.
Okay, so those holes are the emerging from the soil up out into
That's where those small cicadas, the nymphs, are emerging from.
Ah, great. Well, good. Thanks for the insight.
Okay. Good luck.
Yep. And we've got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go, and let's go over to Mary Lou's yard. Hi, Mary Lou.
I made a mistake last time I called you about the frogs or the toads. The holes are about as big as a golf ball, and they're shallow. So she just wants to know what's digging those holes in her yard.
It's probably squirrels.
Oh, okay. I'll tell her that. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
It just happens that she saw a squirrel. And are they digging for roots or?
Well, they're just digging for who knows what.
Okay.
Squirrels are crazy.
Okay, they are. Thank you so much.
Yep. My pleasure. And now, the toads and frog thing was very interesting. But anyway. So thank you, and hopefully we got it straightened out. Let's head over to Tony's. Hi, Tony.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Quick question on red spider mites. I've got them all over my patio walls with the stone on top, and then I'm getting ready to put out a bunch of flowers. So what can get rid of the spider mites from the concrete and once they get on the flowers, or if they do, to kill them when they get on the flowers?
Yeah, usually they're not going to be on, structural type things because there's nothing there for them to eat. So I'm surprised they would be there. But just go to your favorite garden center and get a miticide because that will kill basically anything that's a spider-related type circumstance.
Does vinegar work on them?
Horticultural vinegar, regular vinegar, It's a little bit iffy. You could try it and see what you think.
Because all over the know-it-all internet, they talk about vinegar or liquid dish soap, Dawn.
Yep. I mean, you can try those things. Sometimes they're effective, sometimes they're ineffective. The other stuff has just been manufactured to do that specific type thing.
Why would they be on the top of the concrete walls? I've got three different walls, and they're all over them.
Yeah, I don't understand, because like I say, there's... You know, it just doesn't seem like it would be the classic spider mite that would attack plants, because there's nothing there for them to eat. They get on the underside of the leaves and they, you know, suck spots, and that's what they survive. But I can't see them sucking anything off the concrete, so I don't know.
They look like red, small spiders, bright red. They're just everywhere.
So what you might do is the Home Improvement Show, you might call Scott Mosby and ask him, you know, about that and see what he says.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Sure, my pleasure. Now let's go over to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
Anyway, I use Irish Spring in my van, and so far I've never had a deer in the inside.
Perfect.
And I've got a Rose of Sharon. It's probably about 1.5 inch in diameter. Is it too late to move it, or should I wait till fall?
1.5 inch. I would not. Moving it this time of year, because we just don't know if we're going to have a severe hot spell, it could really do some damage. I would wait until fall to move it.
Okay. All right. Then the next thing, we got English ivy, and I guess over the winter that cold spell knocked a lot of it out. I don't believe it'll come back, but I mean, there is new sprigs and stuff like that, but trimming it back, I'm afraid I'm going to cut off the new growth and that stuff.
Yeah, so I would say leave it alone. Don't, if you want to add some plants, you can do that if you can do it within the next couple of weeks. But, you know, if by the time summer's over with and you've got, let's say, areas in the ivy that are blank, go to your favorite garden center and get a couple of flats of the ivy.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go to Cindy's yard. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for your program.
Sure.
I got two questions, and I hope that I'll be quick that I can get them both in. Our favorite trees, the white ash trees, we got two of them. One's bit the dust, and the other one, it's got green in the dead part, you know. And would that be okay, just not get that one cut down and keep it till it, goes all the way dead? Or should we just cut it down? And then what could I replace it with? That has, you know, that white ash has that perfect shape.
Right.
That's what I liked about them.
Yeah, it's unfortunately the ashes have experienced some major problems. And
yeah,
so
I know
consequently,
that.
You know, you can wait until it's, you know, pretty much all dead to have it taken down if you want. But, during this process, it's going to lose its shape and everything else, the reason why you like the ash trees. But I would probably, look at maybe October Glory or Red Sunset Maple. And see if that can.
Oh, okay.
And see if that can help you.
October Glory.
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Yeah, October Glory or Red Sunset. Those are going to give you a good fall color.
Uh huh. And then my second question is: don't let nobody tell my daughter, but she got me three plants in pots, but they was the plastic pots. And I got sick, and we couldn't plant them. And they're seasonal ones, like they're dying off. But they're not really dead all the way, I don't think. Now, I can just take them out of that and plant them. But would it be okay? Because there's daffodils in one, and then there's something else. There's like three or four plants all in this little pot.
Well, it could be pansies, but it sounds like she got those in the early spring. So anything
right.
that she would have purchased that time of year doesn't like the heat of the summertime, so they're going to go downhill really quick.
Okay, but they'll be dormant, and it's the kind that come back every year.
Yes.
So can I still plant them in my flower bed?
Yeah, you could go ahead and plant the daffodils. The other ones, without knowing exactly what type it is, they may be just a one-season thing. And in other words, a cool season annual that's not going to come back.
And then one more question, if I got time. I was hoping it was a weeping Chinese red maple, and it's miniature ones that people put it by their house,
right,
in their yard.
Yeah, they have the maroon leaves.
Yes, and that's been maybe 4 years ago, but it's not real, real big. But on the ticket, the instructions it said, which I didn't read it right, and it says that it could go up to 8 feet. Now, if I trim that, the top part, keep trimming it down, will that keep it down little?
Yeah, 8 feet is, the maximum height. More than likely, it would probably get to 3 to 4, maybe 5 feet, but it's going to get really wide. That's where most of the growth is going to be. It's horizontal, not vertical.
Right. Okay, and can this fall, could I take a chance of digging it up, put it somewhere else that's got more room or not?
How long has it been in the ground?
Oh, maybe 3-4 years.
You're going to take a chance by moving it.
Okay.
So if you do move it, make sure that the hole you're moving it to is 3 times the diameter of the root ball. And the root ball's got to be, pretty good size, and it's going to be pretty heavy. And then only about 80% is deep. So, in other words, the top of the root ball is going to be above the surrounding ground.
Right. And how deep does those roots go, do you know?
Generally, that type of maple, maybe 10 inches or so. So, Cindy, thank you. Chris, Tom, and Ron, sorry we're not going to have a chance to talk to you today. But hopefully the Garden Hotline will be back next week.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring in my van, and so far I've never had a deer in the inside.
Perfect.
And anyway, I've got a Rose of Sharon. It's probably about 1.5 inch in diameter. Is it too late to move it, or should I wait till fall?
1.5 inch. I would not moving it this time of year, because we just don't know if we're going to have severe hot spell. It could really do some damage. I would wait until fall to move it.
Okay. All right. Then the next thing, we got English ivy, and I guess over the winter that cold spell knocked a lot of it out. I don't believe it'll come back, but, there is new sprigs and stuff like that, but trimming it back, I'm afraid I'm going to cut off the new growth and that stuff.
Yeah, so I would say leave it alone. Don't, if you want to add some plants, you can do that if you can do it within the next couple of weeks. But, if by the time summer's over with and you've got, let's say, areas in the ivy that are blank, go to your favorite garden center and get a couple flats of the ivy.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go to Cindy's yard. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for your program.
Sure.
I got 2 questions, and I hope that they'll be quick that I can get both in. Our favorite trees, the white ash trees, we got 2 of them. One's bit the dust, and the other one, it's got green in the dead part, And would that be okay, just not get that one cut down and keep it till it, goes all the way dead? Or should we just cut it down? And then what could I replace it with? That has, that white ash has that perfect shape.
Right.
That's what I liked about them.
Yeah, it's unfortunately the ashes have experienced some major problems, and
yeah,
so consequently,
that.
You know, you can wait until it's, you know, pretty much all dead to have it taken down if you want. But mm-hmm. you know, during this process, it's going to lose its shape and everything else. The reason why you like the ash trees, but I would probably you know look at maybe October Glory or Red Sunset Maple and see if that can, and see if that can help you.
October Glory?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, October Glory or Red Sunset. Those are going to give you a good fall color.
Uh-huh. And then my second question is, don't let nobody tell my daughter, but she got me three plants in pots, you know, but they was the plastic pots. And I got sick and we couldn't plant them. And they're... seasonal ones, you know, like they're dying off, but they're not really dead all the way, I don't think. Now, I can just take them out of that and plant them, but would it be okay? Because there's like, daffodils in one, and then there's something else. There's like three or four plants all in this little pot.
Well, it could be pansies, but it sounds like she got those in the early spring. So anything that she would have purchased that time of year doesn't like the heat of the summertime, so they're going to go downhill really quick.
Okay, but they'll be dormant, and it's the kind that come back every year.
Yes.
So can I still plant them in my flower bed?
Yeah, you could go ahead and plant the daffodils. The other ones, without knowing exactly what type it is, they may be just a one-season thing. And in other words, like a cool season annual that's not going to come back.
And then one more question, if I got time. I was hoping it was a weeping Chinese red maple, and it's, you know, them miniature ones that people put it by their house in their yard.
Yeah, they have the maroon leaves.
Yes, yes. And that's been maybe 4 years ago, but it's not real, real big. But on the ticket, the instructions is set, which I didn't read it right. And it says that it could go up to 8 feet. Now, if I trim that, the top part, keep trimming it down, will that keep it down little?
Yeah, 8 feet is, you know, the maximum height. More than likely, it would probably get to 3 to 4, maybe 5 feet. But it's going to get really wide. That's where most of the growth is going to be. It's horizontal, not vertical.
Right, right. Okay, and can this fall, could I take a chance of digging it up, put it somewhere else that's got more room or not?
How long has it been in the ground?
Oh, maybe 3-4 years.
You're going to take a chance by moving it. And so if you do move it, make sure that the hole you're moving it to is 3 times the diameter of the root ball. And the root ball's got to be, you know, pretty good size, and it's going to be pretty heavy. And then only about 80% is deep. So in other words, the top of the root ball is going to be above the surrounding ground.
Right. And how deep does those roots go, do you know?
Generally, that type of maple, maybe 10 inches or so. So, Cindy, thank you. Chris, Tom, and Ron, sorry we're not going to have a chance to talk to you today, but hopefully the Garden Hotline will be back next week.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.